Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Sans Pants Radio, Spirit of the Wind.
That one was no good.
Hey everyone, and welcome to this week's episode of Thumb Cramps, a video game podcast for those whose thumbs are cramping. I'm Joel.
I'm Jackson.
And I'm Joel. And today we're going to be reviewing Katana Zero and other games. So I've been playing Katana Zero, a game that was released on the Switch all over the world about a month or so ago, but it was banned in Australia because our government...
Too much, too gory.
Wait, I thought we got rid of that R18 nonsense.
No, yes. So, okay, so to catch everyone up, video games can be rated MA in Australia, but if they're classified for an R rating, that instantly got them banned.
Yeah.
Oh.
But what video games in Australia often just did was they pushed the board and they're like, we don't have an R18 rating, so this is an MA. Yeah. And everyone was like, yeah, that's fine. It didn't really make sense, and the ratings were very inconsistent. And then, I don't know, like 5 years ago or longer, they brought in an R18 classification.
Because, yeah, there was a huge problem, everyone being like, if it was R, it would just go straight to MA, and then, like, mothers and fathers
why is my boy playing a GTA and it's an adult game?
Stuff like Resident Evil 4 and GTA San Andreas were released as an MA game, so you had to be 15 to play those in Australia, where in the rest of the world they were like a pretty hard 18 plus game. Then they brought in the R18 rating, and what everyone thought was going to happen happened, which was the games that were originally would have been classified MA would then classified as R. Now it's kind of rare to find an MA rated game
because
it's either M or R.
Well, MA's always been that weird little one that's not quite
that.
M.
It's like, M, it's like, we recommend you're 15. MA, you need to be 15.
Yeah,
I guess the age, the maturity required for a 15-year-old versus an 18-year-old, there's not many games that would be like, ooh, if you're under 15, this is bad, but if you're 15 but not quite 18, you're fine to play.
Yeah, this one, good. Enjoy San Andreas.
Anyway, the last game, so there's been a few massive ones in Australia that have been banned that people might find crazy. Mortal Kombat 9, the Mortal Kombat remaster, was released like nearly a year late in Australia because it got banned. That was the straw that broke the camel's back, basically. Everyone was like, this is a big budget game. Everyone should have their fatalities in Australia.
Yeah. Let me punch.
Bloody.
I want to combat this bit mortal.
Hey, get the Prime Minister on the bloody phone. I got some choice words for that idiot.
On the blower. That's right. It's Australia.
G'day, Cobber. R18 rating, make it happen.
Yeah.
I want to play some games with spines and titties. And they were like,
and he
was
like,
Struth.
Struth. Yeah, all right.
Yeah. That sounds
like I'm the cool Prime Minister. Yes.
Well, I think I'm the one at this point in time that said shitstorm on TV, which incidentally caused a shitstorm. Also, I went to the strippers, maybe.
Yeah, who can recall?
Yeah, hey, there's as many prime ministers as there are days in the week or whatever. Anyway, so Katana Zero.
Why was it exactly...
Why was it banned?
Oh, yeah, so to get back to the concept. R18 thing. So R18 video games in Australia can be super violent, they can have sex, et cetera, but drug use that is performance enhancing or that is a benefit for the character is instantly banned, and so is any sexual violence, which has resulted in two very strange games being banned from Australia. Hotline Miami 2 never has been released in Australia. Uh-huh. That was banned because the very start of the game, there's a sexual assault, but then the game reveals that this is a movie set, so it's not actually happening. Also, think about every Grand Theft Auto game, there's sexual assault. It doesn't make any sense.
Okay. Yeah. I do love the performance-enhancing drug, because that's Australia being like, we do well in the Commonwealth Games, and any kind of anything that will tarnish the great sport that is, we shall not have.
Everyone's on edge about doping in sport in Australia. Hey, don't talk to me. Look, sandpaper in games is now probably banned. That's a little bit of a cheeky reference to the recent Australian sporting scandal that you guys don't understand.
I understand.
Yeah, the Australian cricket team cheated, and everyone's touchy about it.
Oh, wait, I remember.
Dirty. dirty cricket team.
They were idiots. They got sandpaper, hit it in their jocks, and then scratched the ball with it on camera.
That's very funny.
You can't cheat
on camera.
On camera.
Well, I like
you
that they're
big
like,
idiots.
Don't show doping, because what? Our athletes will get ideas.
No, it's not doping. It's
100%.
Like,
they'll be like, oh, I don't know.
Yeah.
If it wasn't good enough for Matt Shervington, it shouldn't be good enough for you.
Great Matt Shervington reference.
Yes.
So basically, yeah, if a video game... One of the Fallouts had an issue with it, and they had to rename it.
Stims and everything.
Well, a lot of the I thought that was kind of global, because a lot of the stims and stuff in Fallout were originally just actual drugs,
like morphine and stuff.
Hey,
like
pop
that.
Some coke, or I don't know if it was coke. No, no. but it was like, yeah, and then they had to change them to some fancy fictional names, which
perfectly normal now. It's fine.
Yeah.
See,
now it's not coke.
Look,
it's cloak.
A name by any other name won't smell as sweet.
Just doing a line of cloacaine. Don't even worry about it.
I got shot. Give me some morphies.
Too close. Call them Norphies. Done.
Some black guitar heroin. It's black guitar. Oh, that's all right then, Fallout. Yeah, please carry on.
As you were.
So Katana Zero, the main character, is under the influence of drugs that makes them kill good in this game. Also, there's scenes where like there's a character that does a line of cocaine off a sword.
Yeah.
Which flagged. Cool. So another weird thing in this game is the ratings scandal, I guess.
Yeah.
People were really confused when it got banned. It didn't actually get play tested by anyone. It just got flagged during submission and was just automatically banned. And everyone seemed like to be like, huh. And then they were like, don't worry. It means that when someone plays it, they'll be like, nah, this is fine.
Yeah.
The fact that this game is rated R is confusing in
itself. It's baffling.
It's violent, but it's not. It's like pixel art violence.
Absolutely. It's kind of like, yeah, it's not. It could be so much worse.
Yeah. It's like, because there's blood and stuff like when people die, and it does like that, like blood will shoot out of their body basically. But there's no like, you know, like even like pixel art games can have like decapitations or like ribs and stuff showing like bat. Like,
it's cartoonish almost the violence in this, which I guess you get from,
yeah. Anyway, so it just got released in Australia.
Yes.
At time of airing of this episode, it came out soon, not that long ago, but I can't give you an exact
time. It came out both soon and not that long ago. It exists in a liminal state. It's both released and not released.
It's definitely released.
The moment you play it, it's released.
Yeah. If you're listening to this episode, it is out.
Yeah.
And I have played it. Uh-huh. If you're listening to it in the future of after this recording, it's been out for a while, but if you're listening to it fresh... Hasn't been out for
If you're
that
listening
long.
To this in the past, it's soon to come out.
If you are somehow in this room with us, but several months ago, it's not out yet.
No. If a time travel accident has dropped you in the medieval period with nothing but a Walkman and a copy of this episode on cassette,
people were wondering when Mr. Nintendo drops in where I would go often.
Yeah.
Prior to this episode, I would often leave the studio to curse the fact that Katana Zero was banned in Australia, because I was very excited for this game.
Yeah, I remember you telling me about it and recommending it.
Yeah. Turns out, it's pretty good, but not as good as I wanted it to be.
You have to lower them expectations. That's the problem. Never have any. Lower the bar, JD.
Because I've been playing it as well, and it's exactly the same thing. I'm like, oh, yeah.
The story seems like, so this is bad for you.
Yeah.
So basically it's just like a 2D action-y, I wouldn't say side scroller.
It's kind of like not even a beat 'em up. It's like, hey, do you want like
each screen is like a room full of fellas. You gotta kill all the fellas or get past all the fellas and then
Do you want like 2D Hotline Miami? It's kind of that.
Yeah,
but not as interesting.
One hit kills you, one hit kills them.
Yeah.
So he's gotta get good.
Yeah. The story is really interesting in the sense of your character has amnesia. Great plot device. Never been done before.
That's so
always
original.
New. Wow. Fresh.
That's the best. Hang on. Seriously?
Yeah.
That's so close.
I can't remember thing.
So it's, oh my God, this makes so much sense, because they have amnesia, so they don't know how the world, what's going on. And as the player, you don't know. What the world?
It's clever.
Oh, it's so clever. Have they made a movie like this? Because like that's a really good opener. If like the main character doesn't know what's going on,
they
because
have
then
made
the
a
audience.
Movie. It's called you don't Memento.
Know. Oh wow!
And it rolls.
You think you don't know what's going on, but really, it's backwards.
Yeah. What?
Don't spoil Memento live on air.
Look, if you're listening to this episode 20 years in the past...
And Memento has just come out in theaters, yeah.
You might want to skip that spoiler. If you're listening
to this
episode...
You've got to travel back in time and then skip the spoiler. So useless to tell someone to skip a spoiler that's just happened. Oh, you might want to skip that.
If
what?
If you have recently watched Memento and you're listening to this podcast in the way that Memento presents itself as a film... Yeah. There's a spoiler coming up. Be careful.
Memento, that's a new way of listening. Did you listen to the latest episode of Tom Cribs? I mementoed it.
Exactly. Go to the end in 15-second increments.
Yeah. It's like, oh, cool. So this episode gets 37 thumbs. Well, that means one of these games must be really good.
Oh, no. They reviewed their pants or something. Damn it.
Hey, guys. I bought these new jeans.
Whoa.
What do you reckon?
That's 35 thumbs. And 7 thumbs just because.
And then that like gets even more confused for the listener because they're like, wow, they must really hate the game. Something must have happened. Because if the pants got 37 thumbs and the episode got 37 thumbs, the trick is that we then gave the three games we reviewed 5 thumbs and then forgot later on and just gave the episode 35.
When we tried to remember, we just said, did we even review games today?
Distracted by my new pants.
They're just so good.
What game was I talking about? Oh, yeah, Katana Zero. Yeah. Soundtrack rules, art style's cool. The story, I haven't finished. Mm-hmm. And I'm at a point in the game where it seems like everything's coming together. So basically, premise starts, basically go visit like a psychiatrist who's helping you remember the past. Basically, your character is having a reoccurring dream, and every time you go to them, you get a bit more of the dream.
Okay.
Shown to you. You see the dream in full at first, but it's all like blurry and the characters are just shadows and...
Okay.
Yeah.
Et cetera, et cetera, et cetera.
As someone who's, I think, a little bit further along for you, it's not about to wrap up.
No, it doesn't feel like it's about to wrap up, but I also picked up something that you hadn't noticed, so...
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
Loading the game up just before I recorded again, I'm like, oh, no, it's actually also on the title screen, so I really haven't noticed this.
I just don't read it, I guess.
Spoilers, what?
Okay, so here's some spoilers for Katana Zero's story. I haven't finished the game, so I don't know how it ends. But basically, you meet a character who tries to make a snuff film with you, and your character's disgusted. But every time you beat a level, even prior to this, you get a replay of what you've done in black and white, like CCTV footage. Yeah. Except for one level where all the there's been an attack before you go there and the cameras are broken. And then the replay just says no feed found. Okay. So, and then the title screen, every time you beat a level, there's a new tape. So you are someone who's clearly filming you and you are making snuff films. Jackson didn't understand that or get it.
It's just not paying attention.
Yeah, I get it.
No, that's what I mean. Because the story is really wordy, which makes me think that I think things are going to pay off soon. You might have just not noticed. Because I'm...
Maybe.
Look, chances are likely.
The dialogue options in this are really cool. And probably the thing that I like the most, weirdly.
Mm-hmm.
So the things I really like about this is this. Is it good? Yes, but.
Yeah.
But the things I really like, the aesthetic of the game rules, the soundtrack's really good. It's very reminiscent of Hotline Miami, though. The story is cool, and the effects they have, so there's occasionally they'll be like, because there's slow motion and stuff like that, you get kind of like the slow motion from Dread, where it's like colorful-y and weird. Yeah. You also get like parts, like nightmare-y parts, but also has like the 90s TV aesthetic sometimes. Mm-hmm. That's all cool. And interactions you have, dialogue options, you can cut every character off if you want. You can ignore the story. There's characters where you're just given the option to like...
That's great.
Yeah.
That's so good.
Just shush. No. Yeah. That's fantastic news. You must love this, Jack.
I do. Well,
some characters won't let you do it.
There's like, a little kid that wouldn't let me do it.
But
it was very frustrating.
But then the good news for that part is that part where the kid won't let you do it, you get given a tape and you're like, the kid's like, I want to watch it. And you can be like, the nice option seems to be like, yes, but then it's a snuff film.
The kid didn't watch it in my playthrough.
The kid watched some of it.
I was like, leave my house.
The kid watched it in mine, but then it gets to a point where just before the murders happen, she's like, I don't like this. I'm scared. And then, you know, I was just like, don't worry. It's not real. It's very real.
I like that. Clearly, your character is probably as clued on that it is a snuff film.
Yeah.
And he's like,
So the character stops the video.
Okay.
And then he's like, it's not real.
Okay.
So doesn't continue watching it until child has left.
Okay.
Anyway.
No, he still watches it. Neat.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you're a murderer. So I guess seeing someone get killed doesn't really faze you because you've done it heaps. The level designs are cool. Like, they change up a little bit. I'm currently on a level that's got mine cards reminiscent of Donkey Kong Country.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
That's good. Wasn't expecting that. By good, I mean it's very frustrating because mine cards are bad.
Yeah. It also doesn't last long enough, I think, to make it worthwhile. It's not like a...
The level's kind of long, but it's I can tell that it's never going to go back to this style ever again.
Yeah, it's like, it's not like, it's just, you know when a game is like, its aesthetic is like kind of other games?
Yeah.
That's this game's aesthetic in a way where you're like, well, I'm not actually experiencing what made a minecart level in a game fun. I'm just being reminded that minecart levels exist.
It also gives you like a, the minecart level makes you use parts of the game you wouldn't necessarily use. So like timing of your jumps.
Okay.
And like using, you've got slow motion powers.
I think I did the whole thing with no slow motion.
You don't need to, but it just makes parts easier. Yeah.
Okay.
And then like, there's like a lot of like, cause like there's a dodge in slow motion and you can deflect bullets with your sword. So like, it's all, I get what the game's doing. Cause it, when you die, you can try again straight away, but you have to start from the start of the level again. Mm-hmm. Or the start of every screen.
Mm.
So there's clearly like all timing and stuff like that. And I never really get too frustrated if I die.
Yeah.
But I do find myself, if I'm doing the same part over and over again, whilst I'm not frustrated, I'm like, oh, I'll come back to this later.
Okay.
I'm not like, oh, I need to finish this.
Okay.
Look, which is what I was like with Ape Out.
Yeah. You haven't sold it to me in the slightest. What you have sold to me is me reading the synopsis in Wikipedia of the storyline.
Yeah.
I'm spoiling it for me and Jackson live on air. Yeah. Please don't do that.
But look, like, yeah, like it just sounds to me,
I'm not that interested in the story either, to be honest. I can kind of feel like I can sort of see where it's going.
But like, again, that's what I mean. Like, you haven't sold it for me in the slightest. And like, maybe the story, I'm like, it sounds interesting enough that I will skim it on a Wikipedia.
I think
the game's cheap though.
The game is cheap.
And I've put like...
Just get Hotline Miami. If you want a game that's like, hey, do you want to creatively fight dudes in a high risk, high reward situation? Play Hotline Miami. If you want a game that's that, but less interesting and
can everyone,
sort of a platformer, play this.
Can everyone who is listening please write a fan letter to Mr. Nintendo and Mr. Devolver demanding... Hotline Miami 1 and 2 be repackaged and re-released on the Nintendo Switch.
I would be so happy.
See, I've never played this game or games, and
I
would like
Hotline Miami.
No, it's such a good game.
It's really good. It would work well on the Switch.
I happily finished that game, and I loved every second of it.
The masks and biz in it.
Yeah, I liked my favorite mask was the one that made throwing any object a one-hit kill.
Yes.
And then I rarely fought with my sword, knife or any weapon. It would just be about throwing cups.
Do you know
people.
What I? Do you know what mask I always had? Doors kill people.
Oh, yeah. That's my second favorite. It's great.
It's a horse mask, if I remember.
This sounds amazing.
What's great about the throwing things kills people is it gives you sneakily an extra shot. So you get like a shotgun, and you're like, that's two people dead. And then you throw the shotgun. You're like, that's three, baby. Oh, Hotline Miami's
rules.
I'm going to get that again.
This is going to be the second or third time that we've reviewed Hotline Miami on the show. So
37 thumbs.
That's a record. Wow. Equal with my pants.
Yeah.
So Katana Zero, I will finish. Like at this point in the game, I will finish this game. I'm just going to keep playing. I want to keep playing it. Yeah. I think my high expectations hurt it for me a bit. It has an aesthetic I love. It has a soundtrack I love. The story has interest me, and it's a very comic booky story.
Okay,
like it feels like one of those like an Image comic.
Yeah,
basically.
Yeah.
And look, it's the gameplay is fun enough. I just feel like it's not quite as good. Right. But I think the thing that I am craving is just Hotline Miami on the Switch.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to give Katana Zero 4 thumbs, Hotline Miami 37 thumbs.
Yeah.
Perfect.
Hotline Miami 2, wrong number, haven't played. Please release it in Australia.
Yeah.
Well, let's have a quick word from our sponsor.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey, what are you dirtbags been playing? Someone tell me.
Hey, rude. I was recently, I was looking at a list of games.
Yep.
Of Metroidvania games for the Switch.
How big was it?
Swallow was weird.
Yeah. Metroidvania games.
It was like 10 games. I'd played most of them. But the one that was there that shocked me and intrigued me was The Mummy Demastered. So it was... Somebody had taken Tom Cruise's Dark Universe, The Mummy.
Man, I can't wait for, like, what was it, Mr. Hyde?
Oh,
man,
the sequels are going to roll.
It's
the only other cinematic universe that's worked other than Marvel. That's right, Thumb Cramps comes from an alternate universe where the Dark Universe is incredibly successful. I'm just saying that on the whim, someone's listening from a universe where that's not the case.
Yeah. imagine a world where it didn't pay off.
Imagine a world where we're not all...
Imagine a world where Avengers Endgame made money.
Yeah.
And Dark Universe Assemble Team made never made.
Imagine a world where we're not all excited
That's
for
crazy.
Creature and from the Black Lagoon Revengeance. And so what the game is it's like, imagine if Tom Cruise's The Mummy came out in like the late 90s or the mid 90s and they made a Castlevania of it.
That rules.
It is wild. Okay. So you play as a member of whatever the hell the Dark Universe group's name was. Spectre, maybe? Spectro?
MI6?
Ghost Hunter? Hornet? Whatever it is.
The Justice League.
Yeah. You play as a member of that. You're just like one of the random agents. You start off in like a cave. They're like, go get the mummy. You're like, okay.
Good first goal.
Yeah. Mm. You get the mummy. The mummy awakens. You die. And then... Every time you die, you play as a new agent of that group.
Ah, roguelike.
Yeah, it's kind of like, it's like a weird roguelike Castlevania, but it's like the same world and all of your other guys' stuff is still somewhere on the map.
Huh.
But they're like, hey, we've lost a field agent. Your new mission is to go find that field agent's stuff and then go and do all the other missions. And so every time you die, you get the goal, go get your own business or whatever.
Go fund your own business. Yeah, start your own business. Be your own boss.
Goal, be your own boss. Then you just turn off your Switch and you go and start a small business.
Exactly. You look in a mirror and say, you're fired, and go, oh.
But what I've realized about playing this game is that I actually, of the Metroidvania, I like the Metroid bit, but I actually don't care for the Vania element. I find it incredibly frustrating, like, going into an area that is full of, and look, I love rats, don't get me wrong, but it's full of, like, 20 rats that are scurrying around all the edges that'll just start hurting me if I get hit and like start draining my life. And if I leave and come back, the rats respawn, even if I've gotten rid of all of them. And there's like hundreds of them just everywhere all the time. And enemies constantly bombarding you.
Sounds like you don't hate Castlevania. Sounds like you hate rats.
I don't like it when it's bats as well.
I think you have a rodent problem.
Yeah.
I don't know. I just find it like frustrating to a point where I'm like, this is, I'm just not getting what I want out of it. Yeah, I can appreciate it as a kind of game, like as that kind of fun, I don't know, uphill struggle against like ever spawning enemies. But I just find it so frustrating, especially in a thing where you actually in this game aren't given a whole heap of direction. It's very much like explore the area, see what you can see. Normally, but it's not like, cool, explore the area, and I go down into one cavern, get killed by a rat, respawn miles away, and it's like, go get your stuff. And I'm
anyone
like,
who's putting a case file together of if Jackson likes survival games, can you just add that to the thing? Because I think that's definitely starting to weigh in the he just likes the long dark category. I don't like when I don't have much direction. Okay.
I need direction.
I need structure in my life.
Well, I think it's the difference between, so like, I like games where they're like, just go out and survive on your own. You know what I mean? Like I played, several games that kind of have that idea. Like, I don't know, Don't Starve, Darkwood, stuff like that, where it's just like, go figure it out.
How do you feel about Darkwood though?
But that's for different reasons. But this game is like,
how do you feel about Don't Starve?
I like Don't Starve. I haven't played it heaps, but what I have played, I quite enjoyed. Mm. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Figure it out.
Hunger meter.
Yeah. That's what I need.
Don't Starve has a hunger meter, doesn't it? I mean.
That's true. That's... Darkwood?
It makes sense because of the title of the game.
Yeah.
Don't Wood doesn't have one, doesn't. I believe.
But I think in this, it's like go find your goal, but like it's just like a massive map. It could be anywhere, and it just gets frustrating to keep dying and having to restart. I don't know. It's just kind of not for me.
Jackson,
yeah,
you know what happens in a Metroid game?
What?
When you start,
yeah,
and it's like go to this room, and it could be anywhere.
Yeah, but I don't know. For some reason, I think it's because in a Metroid game, there's less enemies on the whole. And it's not like...
Yeah, I can't remember in Metroid games if they respawn. I think they do. I think they do, but it'll be like... There's not swarms in rooms. Mm. And enemy placements often are intentional in a sense of like... So you're like, oh yeah, sweet, I can get through this room. But then if you're like, oh, if I freeze this thing and then jump on that enemy and then shoot up, there's actually a missile expansion.
You start to learn where the enemies will be and how to interact with each one. Whereas in this, it's like...
Rats! Yeah. Bats!
Hey, heaps of rats. Try and jump up this long corridor, like this long kind of like tower area where if one rat hits you, you're all the way down the bottom again. Ugh. And to fire at rats, you have to stop and then, like, press one button to aim and stay in the one spot and then angle your gun. And I don't know, just frustrating. Mm-hmm. But I think it's crazy cool that they're like, this movie no one loved. What if we turned it into a Castlevania? And I wish that happened more. So I'm going to give it 4 thumbs.
As an encouragement for others. Yeah, on premise alone,
enjoy those 4 thumbs.
That's great.
Yeah.
All right, well, I've been playing Slay the Spire on the recommendation of good friend of the show, Andrew Levin.
Sure.
Because I know you played it for a little, like a moment, Jack, and you didn't really care for it.
But that was only because I don't like turn-based like combat. Yeah. I'm like, actually, the game is, when I played it, I'm like, this is solid, this is great.
Yeah.
It's just not a genre I really enjoy.
Yeah, so. And so like Levin's, he messaged me, he's like, hey, you need to get this. I'm like, of course I will. And I immediately downloaded it, didn't play it for a while, because I was still playing
Hyrule. Too busy playing Shovelware? Hyrule, that's a real game.
Whoa. That is a real game, see? I know what I do.
I play real games.
I play real games.
I heard the episode I wasn't in, the I love you shit or whatever, bought a game for $3, went for 10 minutes. You're an idiot.
Yeah.
You're dumb. Don't buy games that are that cheap. They're no good.
Yeah, but killed some time.
10 minutes?
That was just waiting.
A song kills 10 minutes.
Yeah, but I still got to do things with my hands and I'm fidgety.
Zenith's just waiting for that one hidden gem. That's what he's hoping for.
Yeah.
The thing is, occasionally there is hidden gems that are that cheap, but he doesn't buy them. Yeah. The Way remastered was 90% off for a bit.
Yeah, and guess who bought it?
Have you played it?
Not yet.
I have. It sucks. Don't play The Way.
Okay, hey, it was $2. Is it good?
No.
See?
Yeah.
What was the last game out? Oh, actually, I love a game that was a dollar or $2, but everyone else would hate it.
Yeah.
I just like it because it pretty much feels like that I'm getting a migraine. It's no thing.
Oh, yeah. I remember watching that and feeling like I got a migraine as well.
What a ringing endorsement of a game.
It rules. It's like the only way I can describe no thing is it's very, very, I think it's on computer as well. It's always really cheap on Switch. And it's pretty much just like you are it's 1995. It is the future.
Mm-hmm.
You are a tax man, I think, and you're walking to work and you can only turn left and right, and the game aesthetic feels like your Switch has a virus.
Okay.
The music is a nightmare, and there's a narration just being like, you are what? It's a monotone, the Microsoft Sam voice.
How much was it? Couple bucks?
No, it was cheap.
Yeah,
but
see?
Also,
and was it good?
It's good for me.
Anyway.
Tell me about Slay the Spire.
So yeah, go to Slay the Spire. It's like, I had a lot of fun with it. It's a very simple premise.
I just want to quickly go on No Thing is barely a game. I wouldn't give it a ringing endorsement for that. I just like that it's scary.
For Slay the Spire is a pretty a simple premise. It's like you've got, you start off as a dude and you go, like, right, you just got to go up this spire. It's 3 acts. And you kind of go, right, you got to fight a minion, fight either a big boy, fight a treasure chest. I meant open a chest.
This sounds like a crazy person talking.
Yeah. Gotta go up the spire, fight a big boy, fight a treasure chest. That's the game. It's pretty good. You get like little events, look at a question marks. You go there, and who knows what happens. Sure. But it can be good, it can be bad. And eventually you fight the boss of the spire. You got like 3 different options, and like each character gets opened up by the next one. They all have names. I don't know what they are. This game is so light on story because you're just like, I don't care. Who knows? I have a lad with a sword, someone who does poison stuff, and a robot. Those are your 3 dudes.
Great.
They all have different cards.
Hey, Jack, the tone says positive, but I've got no information and I'm not even sure if he's played this game.
I've played the game and I just, damn it, has not given any indication what kind of game it is.
Yeah.
It's a turn-based card.
Those are the people you play. That's the level progression of the whatever. And then it's like, right, every time you kind of verse someone, you got a hand, like a card, Like a hand of card, a deck of hand.
What am I trying to say here?
It's a card combat game.
It is a card combat. Yeah. What do you call it when you're holding cards?
A hand.
A hand of cards sounds wrong.
No, it's your hand.
Yeah. No, this is my hand.
No, but when you're playing card games, they say add this card to your hand. Your hand is.
But my hands are fingers.
No, your hands aren't fingers. Your hand's a hand. Your hand
you're
of cards is
a
hand.
You're telling me that these
fingers
are not
your
my hand?
Your fingers are fingers.
It's crazy that, like, the moment I finished reviewing my game, Zammit got a fever.
Like would you say your toes are a foot? No, they're your
but
toes.
I would say that my foot is, like, that needs my toes.
It's part of your... Oh, my God.
Is it a good game?
Yeah.
Sweet. What's good about it?
It's just very, very addictive. It's very easy to go. It's very simple. It's kind of like Into
so
the
simple,
Breach.
So simple you can't explain it, apparently.
But yelling at me. It's like Into the Breach, where they've just pared back anything that kind of like game in terms of like turn-based strategy, and you're like, cool, whatever. This is basically a turn-based card game, and have pared it back so simple. It is like a deck building in a way. I wouldn't necessarily call it a deck building because it's very simple. You kind of do it on the fly. You got your base stuff that comes with, and every time you win a fight, you can choose between one to three cards you add to your hand.
Hey, Jack. Mm-hmm. If a reward for a game is getting more cards to add to your deck, would you say it is a deck builder?
Yes.
Why would you say it's
to,
not
say
a deck
say like Magic the Gathering, right?
Yeah.
Where it's kind of like, here are the 80 cards that you have, pare this down to 40. Right?
You can use all of the cards.
You can use all the cards you get. It you don't have to really think that much. You can be like, that one seems good, chuck it in my hand, whatever. And you're fine. So I
what's
was,
your
I,
hand, sorry?
Your fingers.
Yeah.
Because you're like, checking. Throw it in my hand, you know, and you put your hand up and they throw it in.
Yep.
Yeah.
And then what do you call that group of cards in that?
Oh, I call it a group of cards.
Okay. So you draw a card and add it to your group of cards, which is in your hands, which contains your fingers.
Yes. Yes.
Stands to reason.
See, it makes sense. It's not hard, JD.
Yep.
It's not hard.
Is any of it bad?
Not really. Initially, I thought maybe like because when it did come out on the Switch, I was like, it looks something I might like, but the art style kind of put me off.
Yeah, the
I
art style's
maybe,
a bit gross.
Yeah, it's kind of not for me.
Is but it anime?
No, it's just like it reminds me of like a Flash game in a bit.
Yeah, ooh.
Like all of the sprites are kind of like. They're not badly drawn, but they're not like it's hard to describe.
Let's say I got my Switch in front of me.
Have
I'll
a
pull
look
it up.
And try and have to describe. I would describe it of someone in like doing say like a 4-year like art degree, and this is what they've pumped out in their one and a half years.
Yeah,
that makes sense. It's kind of like okay,
yeah, like it's good.
It's good. It's, you have talent showing it there, but I'm like. Yeah. A couple of years, it can look real good.
Okay.
It's very Flash game.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's like they've taken the art style of like Child of Light, but pared it back to be even more Flash gamey.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so I initially was very much put off by the
it's
art.
Published by
direction.
Humble Bundle.
Yeah.
So I was like,
same
that's...
people that made Wizards of Legend.
So I'm like, that's kind of, it kind of put me off. But then as I kept playing with it, it's easy. It's fun. It's breezy. It's beautiful. It's a cover girl.
Yeah.
Great reference.
Yes. Full of them. But it's kind of the game you can kind of pick up and play. Like I know we say Into the Breach. It's a game that I can just pick up and I'll just keep going until I, you know, fail or win. And then I'm like, oh, back to the start. And this is that kind of thing because you got one life, you keep going, your health doesn't reset each kind of fight you have until you go to the next act. And so if you die, you just go back to the start. You
if
kind
you
of
die,
whatever.
You die. As
you
that
die,
guy
you die.
Said once, yeah. Drago.
Just the references in this episode.
People understand Rocky references. They don't understand cover. They do. Everyone gets every reference. That's why they're here.
Yeah, it's that kind of thing where it's like, oh, yeah, look, I didn't do well that run, but hey, what of next run? And it's, you know, randomly generated enough that you can kind of have a fun with it. And you can be like, I'm going to try this instead or this tactic. It's a lot of fun.
Mm-hmm. So would you recommend, it's been released, but if everyone had the option to pre-order it, would you say pre-order it?
No,
it's not worth a pre-order. No, a man that famously wants a pre-order all button added to the coming soon part of the Switch.
I mean, I would like it. But it's just like, it was one that I wouldn't have grabbed it unless someone recommended it to me.
Follow-up question, knowing that this is 15 times more expensive than your regular
than
video
refunds,
game.
Yes.
Yes. So this game costs 38 Australian dollars, which is... well, probably 10 times more than you pay for a game on average. Yeah. $3.80 is your average spend.
Yeah.
And you buy it. But would you have preferred to play this or play 10 of those other games that you have no doubt bought?
Hurtful. Probably like
hurtful
this.
Or true?
Probably hurtful. I am actually now curious because I what the average I do actually spend if you consider like the AAA titles versus the just garbage that I'm like, if it's good?
I think you'll be sweet. Like, as much as the reason this happened is because before you went to LA, you bought like 7 games that were all $10 or less. And we were just like, why?
They're so cheap. It's very addictive. I think that's kind of the only downfall. It's like it's very addictive. I think once you finish the whole, I haven't actually beaten the game yet. I've gotten close. I was like, right, on my last 14 hit points or whatever, the end villain of the third spire. And I'm like, yes, I'm getting him down, chipping away. And I'm like, all right, one move to gonna go or else he's just gonna decimate me. And I got him down all the way. And I was like, ha ha, I got it. I did it. I win. I'm great. And then there was a moment. Some little animation, and then it was like, hey, guess what, idiot?
In true final boss form.
Yeah.
We're back to full health, and you are not.
I miss that in games.
And I was like,
happens almost all the time.
Really? I remember playing a game really recently. I can't quite remember what it was, but I remember playing it, and I got him, and I was like, and now for the sec. And it just was like, yeah, you did it. Well done. I was like,
So it was
great. Breath of the Wild has two phases.
Yeah, that's true. Breath of the Wild does, but I forget what game it was. Yeah.
So yeah, it was great. It snatched victory out of the out of my wonderful
snatched
joys.
Jaws of defeat out of your victory.
Yeah. There we go. So it was beautiful. It was like, I was riding such a high because I was like, I didn't think I was going to do it. And then I just didn't do it. Yeah, there's no comeback after that. It's wonderfully punishing at times. It's brutal because you think you're doing so well. And then, sometimes you just get got by your own hubris and greed because you're like, maybe I will do this thing. And then you just die like an idiot and you're like, good, I deserved every moment of that. Time to start again. And if you're in transit or if you're traveling or whatever like that, it's a good game to kind of sink an hour or two in and not realize that hour is gone.
A good time killer.
Yeah. Exactly.
Which is, like Sam had said earlier, that's all he wants to do with
the game. That's what you need with video games.
That's the true secret of video gaming.
Exactly.
It's a momentary diversion on the road to the grave.
Hells yeah, baby.
How many thumbs, son?
Oh, I give it 5 thumbs, and that brings today's episode to a total of 37 thumbs.
Whoa! I don't think we reviewed any games today, and Douche's pants rule.
Be sure to make sure you listen to this Memento style for a bonus content.
And on that note, I've been Joel.
I've been Jackson.
And I've also been Joel. We said that Levins was friend of the show, and all of these games he suggested, and we took a bit of a shit on all of them. Hope you're listening, Levins.
We love you. Thanks for listening. If you want to watch just how competent or incompetent we are at video games, head on over to twitch.tv/sanspantsradio, where you'll see us and other members of the Sanspants Network live stream some of our favorite video games.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.